Romans chapter 15, starting with verse 20. Great stuff in the scriptures. Love it. Just love it. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for people of the word. Lord, we want to hear from you, and we hear from your word that you've given to us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but Lord, we live by your very word. It sustains us. It grows us. It just causes growth in our soul to read your word and study it. So thank you that we're gathered together to not only worship you in song, but adore you as we listen to your heart and as you speak to us in your word. So bless now as we open the scripture, open our hearts. Lord, lead us into all truth by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said this in verse 20, if you're there in Romans 15, he says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." So Paul, remember, he's writing to a group of people in Rome where he's not been. And he's going to tell us a little bit in this chapter that he's going to show back up to Rome. His desire is to go to Rome. And he wants to go to Spain. He wants to do all these things in his life. He's kind of blessed with that. But here he describes his heart that I want to go. He was an adventurer. He was like a pioneer. He liked to go to places where the gospel hadn't gone before. You know, the difference between like when this town was settled or when some of these Western towns were settled, they were settled by pioneers, the guys and gals that pushed west from the East Coast, the ones that first landed and they pioneered. They were adventurers. That's kind of what Paul was. And he says, you know, I don't want to build another man's foundation. I want to do the pioneering work. Anyway, that's the harder work sometimes. And it's not because he was saying it's bad to build on another man's foundation. He wasn't saying that. It was just that it was part of his DNA. It was part of the fabric of who he was. He was like, he liked to step out and do new things. And that's what Paul was saying here, is my aim is to preach Christ, not where he was named. He wants to go to the highways, to the byways around the world. And I love that heart. There are pioneers in ministry, those who start new works, and they step out into uncharted territory, and they lead with vision, and they're, you know, a lot of times having to trust God for provision to do their vision, and they do amazing things. But you know what? Then there are what comes next. What are those? The settlers. They come in after the foundation was laid, and they do the amazing work of keeping it. Like they build the cities, right? They get the restaurants started. They build the roads. They get the things going. And so once the pioneer comes in, the settlers follow. And in the ministry, it's the same kind of way. And that's what Paul was doing here, working together. But I love what he says here. Look at this in verse 21. He says, "As it is written." As it is written. You know, I like to have chapter and verse. You ever talk to me about something, you're trying to make a decision, or you've got this idea? I say, chapter and verse me. You know, bro, you know, what's the chapter and verse on that subject? I want to know that you heard from God, because this is God speaking through the word of God. God has written his word to speak to our hearts. And when we make decisions, we want to hear from God himself. And so Paul does that often. He says, "That is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see." And so he does that. He saw, this is my pioneering heart, and it's in obedience, and it's in a calling, and it's clearly in the word of God, the scripture. I'm just walking in what God's revealed. And so that's Paul where he starts out here. And now in verse 22, he's going to talk about, hey, guys in Rome, I'm writing this letter to you guys in Rome. He goes, "I haven't visited you yet, and here's why." Look at verse 22. "For this reason, I've been hindered from coming to you." Has that ever happened to you? It's like, couldn't make it, sorry. I was hindered. And He says, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. So Paul has this pioneering heart. He's saying, well, I'm going to go to Spain, but on my way to Spain, I'm going to stop by and see you guys in Rome. I mean, this is real life adventure, walk of faith that Paul was in. And he says, I hope to see you on my journey, verse 24, and to be helped on my way there by you, if I first may enjoy your company for a little while. So he's saying, hey, I'm gonna roll in and I want to hang out with you guys. And that was his work. He said, I was hindered from doing pioneering work in and around Rome. And I know you guys want to, you know, hang out, fellowship, talk together, see me face to face. And, you know, I'm going to bring the gospel to Spain. So that's on my way. I'll stop by you guys. And he knew that you guys would support and fellowship and hang out in Rome. And so that's kind of what Paul's saying here in this. Now, we know what happened because we've read the scriptures. We know what happened in the book of Acts. Paul's plans didn't turn out exactly the way he had thought they would. He did end up in Rome, but not exactly as expected. He was not in Rome as a missionary on his way to Spain. He was there because he was a prisoner awaiting trial in front of Caesar. And yet he was, you know, the interesting thing is God used all of that stuff, because when he went to Jerusalem, he got arrested, and then he appealed to Caesar, and he ended up going to Rome, but it was on the government's dime. They paid for it to send him to Caesar because he appealed to Caesar, which was his right as a Roman citizen, and the unexpected access he had to then preach to the Roman emperor himself. Amazing how God works. So this is the story. Now, the question is, did Paul ever make it to Spain? We don't know for sure, but after his release from the prison in Rome, a lot of historical church documents say that, yeah, he did get to Spain and he spread the gospel there as well. Look at verse 25. So now Paul talks about, hey, he says to Rome, I'll do that one day, guys. And then he comes back and he circles back. But here's what I got to do first. Look at verse 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed that they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister them in material things. Therefore, I have performed this, and I have sealed to them this fruit. I go by the way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So here's kind of what's going on. Paul's saying, first I got to go to Jerusalem. These generous folks in Macedonia and Achaia gave a financial gift for the people, the church, the ministry in Jerusalem. So I got this gift. I'm going to get a ship and go across the Mediterranean, and I'm going to take it to the saints, which are the church, the people of God in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 29, he will come to them overflowing with the very life and presence of Christ. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that verse 29 in a minute. But first, Paul says, pray for me. Look at verse 30. Now I beg you. I love this. He's pleading, he's begging. Brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers. Prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I might come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he ends his letter to the Romans here, and then next week we'll look at chapter 16 where he begins to talk, and read ahead about that. It's a very interesting chapter where he talks about all these different people that he worked together with, people that he worked together with. He even talks about some of the divisive people that worked against him. But it's kind of ending his message here. And then in the last chapter, we'll talk about next week, where he describes all the people that were working with him on his journeys. But here's what Paul was saying. He's saying, guys, I beg you, I plead with you, help me out here. I need prayer, because I know when I get to Jerusalem, there's going to be danger there. In the book of Acts, we recall Paul was warned several times by God that when he got to Jerusalem, there would be danger. He went anyway. That's what I like about this guy. He wasn't afraid. He got it. He knew that if God was for him, who could be against him? And you know what? If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And if I'm supposed to be in prison, I'll go in prison. I mean, Paul just had this confidence, not in himself. It wasn't the power of positive thinking. He was confident in his God. And so he was warned several times, and he needed the prayers of God's people, because he knew there was a difficulty that was awaiting him. He didn't know what it was going to be, and he really was blindsided when he got there, and he was thrown in prison. So he asked him, he says to this, will you strive together with me in prayers to God? I'm pleading, I'm begging. Partner with me. I mean, he hasn't even met these guys. He's writing to people in Rome. He hasn't met. He knows they love Jesus. He knows they're born again. They know him doing the work of God. He's a pastor. He's doing God's work, God's way, for God's glory. And he's saying, will you partner with me? And the number one way you can help is to strive together with me in prayer. I love that. It's the idea is that Paul wants them to partner in ministry. Be a ministry partner with me through your prayers. The New English Bible translation puts it this way, be my allies in the fight. Because it's a spiritual fight, remember? Prayer fights those battles. The New Living Bible translates the phrase like this, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Or the NET Bible translation says, join fervently with me in prayer to God. Ministers need the prayers of their flock. And so with Paul, I'm just urging you, anybody listening to this message, we're broadcasting live in Glenwood Springs. So if you're listening live, would you pray for the pastor here at Calvary Chapel? Pray for Pastor Jeff. I, with Paul, urge you to strive in your prayers for your pastor. We need prayer, and we thank God for them. And I want to say, pastors are sustained by the power of the Spirit through the support of the prayers of the people of God. It isn't that a pastor, a great pastor, makes a great church. It's the other way around. Your pastor is sustained by the prayers of God's people. Pastors don't cause churches to become strong and healthy. God builds a strong and healthy church through the prayers of a praying congregation. I mean, whenever I know that people are in the back room or in the front room or in any place praying for me, man, I need your prayers. And I'm like Paul, begging, pleading, pray. The ancient Greek word translated strive together is suagonizomi. It means to agonize together. But he says it with importance and intensity. He repeats the word twice. Suagonizomi, suagonizomi. He's like, you know, it's so important. It's the root word for agony that Jesus, when he anguished in prayer, the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked his disciples, agonize with me in prayer. And what did they do? They fell asleep. He's saying the same thing. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I quote, Does it astonish you that a man so rich in grace as Paul should be asking prayers of these unknown saints? It need not astonish you, for it is the rule with the truly great to think most highly of others. In proportion as a man grows in grace, he feels his dependence upon God and, in a certain sense, his dependence upon God's people. End quote. It's really heavy. I want to take a moment now and circle back to verse 29 and spend some time talking about that, and then we're going to partake of communion together. But would you read with me verse 29? Paul says this about the people that he's going to go visit in Jerusalem. He says, I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I want to unpack that for a moment. I want to take that apart and explain that. Paul begins, he says, I know. He's got this absolute assurance when he would come to Jerusalem, it would be in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Why could he say that? Why do you think he would say that? How could he say that? Here's how we could say that. Because he lived and he walked and he breathed and he slept fully saturated in the person, the work, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who he was. It was the fabric of his being. You know, in America, and if you look at pop psychology and you look at sociology and you look at any secular work and it creeps into the church, they say to compartmentalize your life like a pie chart. This is your finances. This is your health. You know, this is your family, right? And this is your faith. You get a slice of the pie, God. That's not how it works. Christ is to be the center and radiating out. He's the one that gives you a life and takes care of your provision and your food and your finances and your fitness and your family and all those other F's that people put together when they make those charts. It's completely foreign to take man's way and impose it on the Word of God. God has a different way of thinking. He wants all of you, and for Christ to be the very core of who you are, it would affect family and your job and your friends and your fitness, and everything would be saturated through and looked at through the grid of Scripture. But not only through the grid of Scripture, by the power of God. And that's what he walked and lived it. So he said, I know when I show up, I'm going to come in the blessing of the gospel of Christ, in the fullness of the blessing. He goes, I know that. I guarantee you that. Because he lived, he walked in humility and faith. Because he depended on the Lord every moment of every day. He walked in the Spirit. He lived in Christ. He knew Christ was living in him. And so he was just a natural, but yet supernatural, overflowing of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. It's a natural result of a relationship with Jesus. When you're truly walking with Jesus, people know it. You can't fake the funk. I'm telling you, you can't fake it. You can't manufacture it. You can't say, I'm a Christian. People say, I go to church, I'm a Christian. I always love to say, well, just because you go to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. You know what we talk about? Genuine, everybody wants to be authentic and the real deal. Plastic Christians, man, though, it's a turnoff to the world. And they're not attracted to Christ. They could tell right away. A lot of non-believers know more what a Christian should be like, typically, than sometimes Christians themselves. I don't know why that is. They know what you're supposed to act like and talk like. And Paul was saying, I know that when I roll in to Jerusalem, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I want to break that down a little bit more, because the fullness and the blessing is the primary message that we have that we proclaim to others. Paul was going to Jerusalem. He says, this is how I'm going to show up. We do the same thing. We show up, family, friends, school, the market, the coffee shop, wherever we go, we show up with a message. What's your message? If it's not in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, it's not a blessing. That's why our church, our vision is to know Jesus. We come to know him in a relationship. And then we go forth and we make him known. We come to know Jesus in the study of his word. We adore Jesus in worship. Christ, we learn how he lives in us. We live in Christ. And then he flows out of our lives, where we have to have the knowledge brought into the heart, lived out through the hands. It's where we come to learn and grow so we can go and tell others. And when we go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Highlight that in your Bible if you brought it, or use your iPad highlighter. When we come to people, we want to come to them in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I mean, that's a great vision for 2018 for me. Pray this for me. Write that in the margin. Pray this for Pastor Jeff, that he would come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's how you could pray for me. I asked you earlier to pray for me. Write it in your margin. I'm going to write it in my margin. I'm going to pray for you of this. Pray for you. I'm going to put all your names there, and I'm going to pray for you this week because I love you. And I want you to be filled with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I mean, because if we don't have a growing vision and understanding of what this is, or even a desire, hey, ain't going to happen if that isn't there. We won't be ministering to other people. Because this is really what every soul on this planet desperately needs. Because we're born, listen, we are born in emptiness of sin and death. We're not born filled with Jesus and goodness. We're born empty and we're born in sin. And the only thing that will meet that need is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, I know when I come to you, I'm going to come this way. A certain conviction, a deep conviction. What a great word, I know. Not just, well, I want to, or this is a possibility when I show up, but I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And that's the way to come to people. This year in 2018, you that have Christ in your heart, represent him. You're an ambassador of Christ. That's a way to come to people, whether it's a friend, a family member, somebody at church, somebody at work, somebody on campus at college. This is how you come to people. Any other way really isn't a blessing of the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Oh, how we need to be a blessing to each other. Man, this planet, life is, it's hard, it's tough, it's a battle. We're living in a war zone. We really are. Now, there's some real physical war zones going on right now, aren't there? In Syria, in the Middle East, you know, somewhere like that, people don't have what you'd call a nice day. I don't think they're saying to each other on the street, hey, have a nice day. North Korea, you think those guys walk around and say, have a nice day. It's like, I'm in this, like, crazy country. Just, this is part of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, which we're born here. We're going to break this down a little bit more. We'll talk about some of the blessings that we have. These guys are in a war zone. Things are not comfortable. They're difficult. They're challenging. They're heartbreaking. They're intimidating. They're fearful. They're challenging. You need protection and provision. You need a real purpose for living. You need the Lord. And we often forget, though, that this whole planet is a war zone. You know that, right? There's a bigger battle than the ones you can see. It's called spiritual warfare. Sometimes you have World War III going on right here between your ears. There's a battle going on, isn't there? It bombards our minds more than sometimes we really even realize that it's a work of spiritual warfare going on. We don't even realize it. We haven't been trained in it. Sometimes we just don't want to admit it. And then we all kind of think, well, you know, nobody's being bombarded as much as me. Probably most of us are. Breaking news, you're not the only one. We're all getting it. We're all getting it. Oh, we need, that's why we need to be a blessing to one another. But you can't manufacture a blessing, can you? You could try. But a true blessing has to come from God. And if we're going to bless anyone else, it has to be passed on from God through our heart and our life. He develops that life by His Spirit through His Word, and then we pass it out. So let's take a moment now, and we're going to take a few minutes about the blessings included in the gospel of Christ. You know, when you think of gospel, you think of forgiveness. That's included, but it's like the A, or like the Alpha to the Omega. It's like the A to the Z. There's a whole bunch left. Salvation is, yeah, I'm born again. That's a blessing. Good news. Who He is, what He's done, what He's provided, what He can do in our lives day by day, how He can touch others with our lives, our humanity, this vessel, where He can indwell and flow through. And so here's what's available in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We've been forgiven in Christ. We have fullness of forgiveness. The Lord hasn't said to you or to me, I'll forgive this and that and the other, but this here list, I just can't get past that. I mean, we're like that to one another, but the Lord's not like that. That's not God. We have fullness of forgiveness. What a blessing. What a rich treasure. Oh man, I am so blessed that I'm forgiven. Each of our sins. I mean, think of our sins in this room if they were like, you know, a square block, you know, you could build a giant wall. The wall of China, probably, if we just added them all up. But we're forgiven fully and freely. Not only fullness of forgiveness, we have fullness of acceptance. I'm just going to touch on a couple things here. People might measure us skeptically and keep us at an arm's length. You don't deserve my time, my attention, my resource. And maybe they're wise at times to do that. But it's not this way with the Lord. Aren't you thankful? We're accepted in the Beloved. What a blessing, a part of the fullness of the gospel. We're totally accepted. We have a fullness not only of that acceptance, but a commitment to us. He's promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's the only one in the universe with that kind of a commitment. Never, ever. Oh, you know what else He said? He said, I'll never, ever be against you. Gosh, what rich blessings those are. So think about it. This is what Paul's saying. He says, I'm going to roll into Jerusalem in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And we too should have that as our vision for 2018. When we come to people to minister to them, a roommate, a family member, a friend, an acquaintance, somebody we encounter at the coffee shop or the supermarket, what do we come to them with? Our own inadequate emptiness. It's like, I don't need that. I got enough of that. We come to them in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, this truth that changes our lives, gives us a great message of hope to a world that is dying for a message of hope. And out of that, any hungry, maybe even dead person, broken heart, hears it, understands it, they'll sing with hope. Thank you. The fullness of the blessing. Those are just a few of the things we go on, and you're going, I know you could, Pastor. Let's look at the word fullness. When we have been born again, when you've been born again by the Spirit of God from above, there's new life in us. Christ dwells in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there to make the things of God, of Christ, real to us, that we get it. Our understanding, as we walk, as we navigate life, we're getting it from God. And the truth is, in Christ is where the fullness dwells. And because we're in Him, we have His fullness. In the fullness of Christ, we have all we need for wholeness in Christ. You're complete in Him. You're thinking, well, I'm complete. That might describe some people, but doesn't describe me. That's who you are in Christ, complete in Him. You have the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ, and He's in you. It's amazing. Too many times, my focus, your focus, our focus can get off of Christ and onto ourselves. He is where the fullness is, and we get shifted onto ourselves. Let me just ask you a quick question. Do you ever struggle to try to get your mind upon yourself? Do you ever have a difficulty when you want to think about yourself and you just can't seem to do it? I don't think so. It's the easiest subject on the planet to think of. I mean, as a matter of fact, half the time we think everybody else is thinking about that subject too. But they're not thinking about you if they've got their mind already occupied thinking about themselves. Because it's our natural tendency. What we're talking about here in the Word of God is a heavenly perspective. God, help me. I want more of this in 2018. That's why I say pray this for me, and I'll pray it for you. It's not like a bribe or anything. It's just love we have for one another. What a heavenly perspective. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are connected to Christ, you who are in Christ, like a branch in a vine. A branch gets its nutrients and life is in the vine. When you cut the branch off, what does it do? It dies. You put it in the, you know, the branch grinder or whatever, those wood chippers. It's no good. But I mean, when it's in and it's abiding, that's how we're to be with Christ. We abide in Him, and there's like life that flows there. It's available. You're complete in Him. It's radical. It's game changer. It changes everything. In Christ, the fullness dwells. In Him, listen to this. In Him, we have love. It's part of that fullness of real love, not manufactured man's love. I love you if you're lovable. That isn't God's kind of love. You can have love from God. That's agape, Christ-like love, that you love people. It's an action word, not a feeling. Feelings are involved, but it's not primarily a feeling. In Him, we have that kind of love. In Him, we have peace. It's part, a beautiful, precious part of fullness. In Him, we have joy. In Him, there is strength and there's wisdom, there's hope, there's faith, there's protection, there's provision, there's purpose in life. This comes from heaven above, the fullness of what it's like to be in Christ. Are you that way? You can be. It's all there for you. It's all there for you and for me. There's a multitude of things. When we're saved from and unto. Let me talk about that for a minute. Some of the fullness is we're saved from some stuff and unto other things. So it's like this. We're saved from hell. We're saved from sin. We're saved from self. We're saved from guilt. We're saved from condemnation and alienation. We're saved from barrenness and fruitlessness and futility. We're saved from despair. But we're saved unto, which is even greater than all those bad things. Yay! We're saved unto heaven and forgiveness and righteousness in Christ and fullness and blessings and provision and everlasting life. Eternal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven one day, but a taste of that today. What a great salvation. What a great Savior we have. And in Him dwells that fullness. So there's no reason for me, for us, for you, where we would get trapped in an empty, barren life now that we come to Christ. We have purpose and fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You know, if we had time and there was willingness in each heart, we could stand and share heartaches and emptiness just in this small gathering. And I could take part in that. And we could just paint a word picture of each person stand up and share heartaches and emptiness. And anybody listening in or looking in or watching from the outside, they'd say, boy, there's no hope for that group. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. The hope's not put on a happy face. The hope's not the power of positive thinking. The hope's not, well, have a nice day. The hope is in Christ and his fullness and this wonderful truth of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The Lord Jesus wants to express the fullness of his life in your heart, that you would embrace it. It would be real. And only then will it flow from your life. Like Paul said, I know this is who I am. Oh man, do I want to be like this guy, Paul? And I'm growing in that. You are too. We're growing. We're making progress. Don't sell yourself short. We're there. But there's so much more, isn't there? We're getting there. We want to keep going, though, this year, more than last year. That Jesus expresses the fullness of his life in our humanity, in these vessels. Jesus said this in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Yes, he came to forgive us of our sins and give us heaven one day. But he wants abundance of life today. Is that you? We're going to close now and celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this is, and I'm going to share a little bit about that. Closing thoughts, if the music team would come up. A few closing thoughts as we wait for the communion. So just go ahead and hold the communion in your hand. In God's presence, it's fullness of joy. Relationship. Remember, it's not about procedure. We've got to get that out of our mind. Christianity is not a procedure. It's about a relationship. It's not check it off your list. We do that at work. A relationship with God. There's joy. And it's the work upon the cross what provides us access to the presence of God. Hebrews says, through Christ we have access into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. It's called the new covenant of grace. It's the grace of God. And for the child of God, who are in Christ Jesus by the shed blood of Christ, we can walk into his presence and live there. It could be our living room, spiritually speaking. We don't have to leave. That's what was accomplished on the cross when the separating curtain was torn from top to bottom. It's a work of God, not from the bottom up, a work of man. It was a work of God that opened the way, a new and living way, to have a relationship with God. And we could commune with him and talk with him. And it's because of the blood that was shed by our Savior, his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. Might be many people on this planet you want access to, you'd like to speak to. You don't have access. Well, let's just go over their head. Let's talk to God. That's what's so awesome. We can speak to, commune with, fellowship with the living God ourselves every day. Think of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's what brings joy to a heart. The Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. And all these things are ours in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, in the person and work. So let's be seeking this year, starting now, that Jesus, day by day, that more of this fullness would be manifest in light of our emptiness. And we come to minister in any way, to family, to church, to school, to work, we would come by faith in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Father, thank you for the shed blood and the broken body. We hold now the cup and the bread. And we're blessed beyond description. Strengthen us and send us out in your name. Let's partake of the bread together and the cup. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. If anybody needs a talk or prayer, I'm always available.